back. This is Scared Monkeys Radio. I'm Dana Pretzer. Always a pleasure to have Blink from the crime blog, blinkoncrime.com, our sister blogger on the air. How you doing, kiddo?
I'm well. Good evening, Dana.
I introduced you as the book I just talked about here called The Charmer, about this guy. I introduced you as a charmer, and you are, but you are on the good side, though, right?
I am. Thank you. I heard that, and I appreciated it. Thanks so much.
This guy, I don't know if you've ever seen this book. It's a great book. He reminds me so much of the Bundy case, although not as serial as a serial killer, but a creepy guy for sure. Interesting. Anyway, that's not why I brought you on to talk about some other author's book. I want to talk about Jerry Sandusky, 45 out of 48. That's a pretty good average. That sucker's not coming out of jail for the rest of his days.
No, he is not. He has effectively has a life sentence, and deservedly so. As you know, he started out with, I call it the 52 pickup,
yeah,
which was 52 counts, which dwindled by the time we were at mid-trial down to 48. And it made sense. One of them had to do with the fact that the statute of limitations had expired. And then the other two counts were actually dismissed in something called sua sponte, which is after the hearing, Latin for after the hearing, by the judge, who waited to hear, kind of interesting, because I don't know that I've seen that. I don't know that I've seen a judge say, you guys missed it, but in testimony, victim number four, and I don't want to be graphic on your show,
sure,
but what he was saying was basically what he was being charged with, the testimony did not match the accusation. So he knew going into, Judge Cleland knew going into it, that at the end of the day, if the jury were to find him guilty on those two counts, he would have to set that verdict aside, and did not feel it was fair to the jurors to deliberate on something that he already knew did not meet the burden. So that was kind of an interesting twist at the end.
You know, what about the presentation of the case itself? We'll get into, you know, possible appeals and all that other stuff in a bit here. But what about the presentation, prosecution, defense? I hear the prosecution did a great job and the defense just kind of, you know, what's the old saying? You throw something against the wall and you hope something sticks.
Well, that's an excellent question. And for me, what was extremely interesting was, a lot of people don't realize this, but the defense, Joe Amendola and Carl Rominger, actually attempted to withdraw from this case.
Oh, really? Okay.
On the evening of trial, they sought from the Circuit Court, Superior Court, and I believe the Supreme Court. It was a sealed motion, so most folks were under the impression that they were seeking more time. In the scheme of things, with the amount of accounts that went into this trial, like as an example, if you compare it to, you know, probably the second biggest case in the last 2 years to come to trial, this is to the Casey Anthony trial, if
sure,
I'm to think of it. I mean, you can throw John Edwards in there a little bit, but certainly that has its not true crime audience as much as a political audience.
Right.
But what was very interesting to me is they, I mean, again, I don't know that I've heard of that. I'm not surprised by it, because in my opinion, the way that, and we'll bring this up, Joe Amendola, the defense attorney for Jerry Sandusky, allowed him to give the Bob Costas interview,
yep,
which ultimately we were all kind of, you know, gasping with hands over mouth during that interview, and we heard the edited version. And even that was shocking, that any defense attorney would allow that. I mean, rule 101, you never let your client say something you don't already know he's going to say.
Right.
And go ahead.
No, and I was going to get to that in a minute, and that's one of the things they're talking about now as far as appeal goes, is the NBC interview with Costas and the edited version versus the true version, so to speak. Let's talk about that a little bit. What are they meaning by that?
Well, what they mean in terms of the edited version versus the transcript is, Jerry Sandusky gave a telephone interview with his client's, excuse me, with his attorney's permission, and it was edited. This was on The Rock with Brian Williams' show. Bob Costas was a special feature. I mean, it was a coup. He was the only one that had this interview, And we don't know who had the editorial, license to edit it. I would be shocked beyond words if Mr. Costas had anything to do with that.
Right.
I really would. If anything, and if you can tell by the phraseology, I featured it on my site, of the questions that Mr. Costas asked, he knew what he was asking him, and he did. It was extremely well researched, as I've only ever seen him be.
No.
It didn't come in for a couple of reasons. When I say it didn't come in, it means the prosecution, out of the Attorney General of Pennsylvania's office, requested a certified transcript.
Right.
The Friday before the completion of trial, which is appropriate because we all had, as media and press, we all had the released transcript of the actual interview that did not, the parts of which did not air, which, by the way, is only 3 or 4 paragraphs. But my God, in terms of interpretable, those 3 or 4 paragraphs, I can remember when I saw that interview and I read the transcript, I believe the words on my site were, there is not a chance in hell Amendola is going to put him on the stand.
Right, yep.
And he was going to, up until the very end. You had asked me, kind of giving a score or an evaluation, if you will, on the defense and the prosecution. The prosecution, headed up by Linda Kelly, but of course the chief under her would be Joe McGettigan, did a masterful job in what is probably, as a juror or a prosecutor, one of the most difficult cases. We're talking 8 witnesses that had to describe and then be open to cross-examination of sexual abuse, rape, as little boys. And it was graphic. In one case, there was, there might have been 2 moms, but in one case there was a mother who was brought on, and the reason that came out was because, to be honest, it was evident that it was possible that there was going to be, the defense was going to try to impeach these gentlemen.
Right.
Letters written by Jerry Sandusky in his own hand. Creepy does not even begin to describe, as a clinician, if I were looking at those letters, it was clear as a bell that this gentleman was a pedophile. He was manipulative. He was exhibiting ritualistic behavior. And he was trying to manipulate so that he was not, to secret his crime.
Yeah. No, exactly. Blink from Blink on Crime is here. We're talking the Sandusky case and the verdict. When you hear this and you see the case, let's talk about Sandusky's wife a little bit, getting on the stand and saying, not in my house, the old Tammy Wynette stand by your man persona. Maybe I'm too old to be bringing that up. Maybe nobody knows who Tammy Wynette is. But her standing by your man didn't get him very far.
It did not. Thanks for not asking me to sing a few bars on that, because I know it.
Yeah, okay. All right.
But seriously, you don't hear me say many things in an absolute fashion when I haven't interviewed the witness, but I'm going to say this.
Right.
Dottie Sandusky knew what was going on. There isn't any doubt in my mind. I would not be surprised at some point, keep in mind, Dana, there's a federal grand jury right now that is investigating, that is meeting. And we don't know the extent of their investigation or what they're looking to prove in terms of an indictment. I don't believe this is done.
No.
If you recall, Jerry Sandusky, the whole reason the 4th and final grand jury met on the instant matter was because his phone number came up in a cross-reference check in a ongoing drug investigation involving Penn State. So we don't even know what the net of that is, but I can pretty much tell you that it had to do with Jerry securing what I believe was pot for a victim, And that testimony did not come into trial. So you can betcha that that testimony, which, by the way, would have had to have been in the original subpoenas, right?
Right.
Because that's how they caught the guy. That exists somewhere. So I have to believe that potentially, I mean, there's certainly not going to be anything worse than a pedophile, you know, being in place since 1976/1977, you know, at best that we know about. There's nothing in the free world worse than that, really.
No.
But what I can say is this is not over.
No.
You have Tim Curley, you have Schultz facing trial, I want to say July 11th, on the perjury charges and the failure to report. You have a federal investigation also for a violation of the Clery Act. And then you have the NCAA, who is investigating, you know, appropriately, because part of their bylaws and part of their qualification systems and protocols involve, you know, things that are in place. For instance, somebody that was accused of a sex crime having keys to the Lash Building in an emeritus status would not qualify as appropriate or under the bylaws for the money or qualification to be a participant in the NCAA. This is just, you know, it's like they're all under, you know, you recall Wizard of Oz.
Sure, yep.
Pay no attention to the man behind the green curtain. Except this is like, you know, the Bureau of Trust. This is like, you know, the executive administrators, Graham Spanier, the former president who was fired prior to Rodney Erickson, along with Coach Joe Paterno, is now suing Penn State in order to access emails that were found after the fact discussing Jerry Sandusky.
Oh, Blink from Blink on Crime is here. Let's just turn aside from the trial for a minute and talk about this. Oh, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess some of the criticism that we've seen of the media and others with the sports mentality, the big sports team, the big coach. There's a couple of kids that made an allegation, it's not that big of a deal type of thought that was out there and still out there today. Some sportscasters who need their rumps kicked from here to the moon that are actually making fun of this story. This is one sick puppy. He should have been incarcerated a long, long time ago. Let's talk about that sports I'm not sure how to put it. That sports bulletproof vest, so to speak, the big team, the big town, leave us alone.
Well, I will tell you this. In the interest of full disclosure, I've been on that campus. I've been a student. I have a family member that was offered, who is a all-state national volleyball player, who was offered a full scholarship in her sophomore year. So I know that. I know that campus well. I know that community well. And there isn't anybody that was probably more shocked than I was. Jopa was actually, my niece passed away from Ewing sarcoma about 7 years ago, and there's a picture of Jopa and she on her website, and he was an integral part of her life, of the community. He's very well revered. And to that end, what I want to say is because of that, Dana, that I think this was so non-palatable to people. Because it is true that they, you know, people fused the issue with Sandusky with somebody who in center county, in, you know, Beaver Valley, Happy Valley, Jopa is somewhat of, you know, a godlike figure.
Right.
And so I think people were of the opinion, you know, well, if he knew about it and didn't do more, then it couldn't be true. Right?
Right.
What I want to say to those people is, you know, before he passed, he himself said, I could have done more. That's
right.
A quote.
Yep.
And it wasn't because you know, we're all fallible. I just believe, I will, let me say it a different way. I'll never believe in my heart of hearts that he himself understood the dark occurrences that Mike McQuarrie believed he saw.
Right.
And out of Mike's own mouth, he said, what I saw, I didn't necessarily articulate, you know, in a way that was plain. Right? In other words, he didn't say, I saw this child being anally raped to Joppa.
Right.
He couldn't bring himself to do it. He was honest. Okay? Now, do I think Joppa should get a pass? I don't. I think he could have done more. I think he attended, you know, fundraising events. I think he should have made sure that Jerry Sandusky did not have, you know, any access, that he was prosecuted. Do I think all those things? Yes. But I don't believe that Joppa grasped the concept that a man could be sexually attracted to a young boy. I don't think he ever got there in his mind. I don't.
Blink from Blink on Crime is here. You're right. This story is far from over. The potential of other victims, including a son or stepson, whatever, we'll get into that in a minute, is there. What about the other victims? What about them now not coming forward because they think it's all over, he's in jail, it's done, it's not worthwhile for them to come forward? That's just wrong. Where do you think this will go?
I think if people, if there were people that were not going to come forward as a result of this, that they're not going to come forward.
Right.
I don't think that at this juncture, you know, perhaps in their, if they're in need of reconciliation for this, which of course I would think they would, maybe this is enough. Maybe other people deal with it more privately. I can't imagine the burden that they must bear.
Yep.
What I would say to them is that why it's important that they come forward is because, and this is my biggest issue with this entire mess, is that since 1977, Jerry Sandusky has lured, groomed, and sexually molested young boys. He created an agency, a multi-million dollar agency, to do just that. Make no mistake about it. This man, sole intent, no matter what you say about, oh, well, there was girls that were also, you know, part of the second mile that were never molested, Mr. Sandusky is an advanced narcissist. He is. Now, he was, diagnostically, he was a pedophile. Today, he's a child molester. The difference between the two, as I'm going to highlight in my next article, is a pedophile is a diagnostic term. A child molester is a legal term. He's been adjudicated. He's been found guilty. He is just that. So if you drill that down, he's no different than, you know, the Chester the molester that's, you know, using a snorkel at the pool looking at little kids. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not glamorous because he was some football coach. It's as disgusting gets. Moreover, you have an entire agency with huge reach, right, that was condoning outsourcing a lot of the, what we'll call the, you know, central protection services or child protective services that were putting these children in harm's way. How do you explain, as an example, you brought up Matt Sandusky, who was adopted at 18. He was an adult. In 1994-1995, he burned a barn. Now, by the way, he was, I'm going to say, about 15 in that time frame.
Right.
Jerry Sandusky, he's accusing Jerry now of beginning to molest him at the age of 8. So I ask you, at the time that his separation, his removal from his birth family, and he's put into the Sandusky home. His brother calls the home. Dottie Sandusky answers the phone, and she says, you can't talk to him because he's not your brother anymore.
Oh,
hangs up.
Jeez.
Then he burns a barn.
Yep.
Then he, a year after that, around give or take, he tries to commit suicide with another female relative living in the Sandusky home in a hotel room. And a judge decides that he should still remain in the Sandusky home. My point in telling you this is, did this child burn a barn and try to kill himself to get away from this abuse? Of course he did.
Sure he did, yep.
Of course he did. Does anybody understand the magnitude of a child burning a structure so that he gets arrested and put into juvenile detention as opposed to living in the Sandusky home and nobody did anything? In fact, Judge Grine, who we'll tie this back into Ray Grecar, if you remember, is still the missing prosecutor out of Center County, presumed deceased, actually declared deceased about a year ago now.
Right.
He was very close with him. He is a judge that determined Matt Sandusky, was still better off with the Sandusky family, although he burned something, went to juvenile detention, and he tried to commit suicide.
Yeah.
The problem is, this is a criminal matter, potential criminal matter, up and down the food chain in a small community that absolutely believed that it was untouchable. Right now, with all the civil suits pending, the judges are literally like standing in line recusing themselves in that community because they don't want to hear the cases, because guess what? Everybody's background is going to be evaluated, and they're tied to Penn State, they're tied to Grine, they're tied to Sandusky, they're tied to the Second Mile. They're going to be, you know, busing in judges from other states to hear civil matters because it's that much of a mess.
Yep.
At the end, here's what I want to know. I want to know how this man abused, and if there's 8 victims, Dana, there's 100.
Sure there is, yep.
How did he go undetected and uncaught since 1977? And what is the legacy that put him into the monster chair that he sits in? Because I promise you, he has a legacy. He was a victim of abuse. We know this. We know this.
Yep.
There are several paraphilias that he exhibited, whether that was telephone calls. You know, I can give you all the profile names for this, but at the end of the day, it is just unbelievable that he was not caught. People knew it. People gossiped about it. He didn't get jobs because of it, but nobody, you know, 3 grand juries convened and nobody indicted. Why?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big story and one that's far from over. Blink from Blink on Crime is here. We got about 5 minutes. This is not the end of this story as far as blinkoncrime.com goes. And, again, I ask you this all the time. How do you keep up? This is not something you just sit down for 5 minutes and type up and then go and watch a soap opera or something. That and all the other stories that you're working on, it's funny that better life or the better half of your life isn't kicking you out to the curb, you and your computer.
Well, I will tell you this. You know, it can be stressful. And
yeah,
to add insult to injury, with my children that are home, you know, for the summer, mom is actually in summer school because I was waitlisted for some graduate courses and it opened up, but I had to take them all at the same time.
Right.
So in the last 3 weeks, I've got a full caseload on top of it.
Oh.
Course load on top of my caseload.
Yeah.
But to your question, it happens to be in a lateral area of study. One is the motivation of the sexual offender with specificity towards pedophilia, paraphilias. So in a way, you almost look at, you know, the stars are dictating what you're supposed to be doing and learning, because as I'm learning the, you know, what I'll call the more advanced scope of this while this is going on, the level of understanding and fear that I'm faced with as I'm learning this tells me just how really serious this is.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I'm thankful for that, but on the other side, I do have to dial it back a bit, and I expect to do that. It's like everything's hitting at once.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to say sometimes when we have readers that are like, when are you going to update this and when are you going to update that? I wish I could cover, you know, every story. I wish I could update it. I'm thankful to the readers and contributors that, you know, Dana, sometimes my site's like a little bit of a research lab.
I know.
You know, they're like, hey, you know, I'll post something, and I'm so fascinated and thankful for those readers that are advocates, because that's what it all comes down to. You know, nobody really feels like they have a choice. It's like, this is just wrong, so how do I contribute?
Yeah.
But, you know, fortunately, we have a lot of support in the area of what I do, and, you know, it takes that to be able to do it. So to that, you know, plus, he's a lucky man. And he knows it.
Yeah, there you go. Well, my dear, you're doing a hell of a job. And again, Blink from blinkoncrime.com. Go there to learn everything about anything and all these stories, Sandusky included. The update will be in the next couple of days?
It will.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to reading it myself. Thank you, ma'am. Talk soon.
Oh, my best to you. Be well, Dana.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
That's Blink from Blink on Crime. How she does it is beyond me. How they do it over at Scared Monkeys is beyond me. I do a show once a week, and it's hard to keep up with that sometimes, but these guys are going 24/7. Doing something that mainstream media doesn't do is giving you the whole story and nothing but the story. That's it. I hope you enjoyed it. Make sure and pick up the book, The Charmer. Click on the link in the show notes. Check out blinkoncrime.com, and don't forget us here at scaredmonkeysradio.com. We'll see you again real soon.
You've been listening to the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. We invite you to discuss tonight's program with other listeners by joining us at scaredmonkeysradio.com, where you'll find program archives, links to tonight's guest websites, and further information regarding tonight's topics. Scared Monkeys Radio is a production of scaredmonkeys.com. Thanks for listening.